Good morning, Foundation. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, you are good. Your steadfast love endures forever. You are just. Your word tells us that you are holy, holy, holy. Father, you are worthy of our praise, our adoration. Father, through the reading and preaching of your holy word, Father, equip us as your church to be faithful servants. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I would ask you to turn with me to Acts chapter 7, Acts chapter 7, beginning in verse 51. Acts 7, verse 51. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it. Now when they heard these things, they were enraged and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul approved of his execution. And there arose on that day great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. And Lord, equip us through the reading and preaching of his word this morning. We have seen in Acts, the Lord is seeing to the growth of his bride. He is seeing to the growth of his bride, the church. And here in Acts 7, we are seeing that how the Lord is seeing to the growth of his bride is through the man, Stephen, a man full of faith, the Holy Spirit, full of grace and full of power. Stephen has been set up. False witnesses have testified, and for his accusers, Stephen provides a history lesson of God, the redemption of God's people. Stephen unapologetically points his accusers to Jesus. Stephen, he ended his sermon not by tickling their ears so he could get out of the persecution. Stephen ended his sermon by proclaiming what they needed to hear. He continued to proclaim the truth. He informed them that they were guilty and hard-hearted. They were guilty of killing Jesus Christ, the righteous one. They did not understand the scriptures. He revealed to them their sin and their need for a Savior, that the only Savior is Jesus, whom they killed. But he was no longer dead. He was alive, for he had risen. Stephen called for them to trust in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the risen one. Before we proceed in this exposition of the response of the council, I want us to stop and consider our own life in light of God's truth. As God's children, we are still in need of the gospel every day. Every day. The cross of Christ is a reminder of God's love, His graciousness to save sinners. The cross of Christ is a reminder of our justification that we have, not in of ourselves, but justification that we have in Christ, that Jesus has paid for us and we are His. We are His. We are called by Him. We are called to Him and called to glorify Him with our life. The cross is a reminder of what He has accomplished, of what Jesus has done. That the Father sent His Son, the Son sent the Spirit, and we are by God's power. And we by God's power and reliance upon Him, we are to continue to grow in godliness. The Spirit will bring about sanctification, but we are also to pursue sanctification by the Spirit. We are to grow in godliness, that each day is a gift from the Lord, and that gift includes temporarily suffering in the name of Christ. So as we look at today's verses, I want us to rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Set your mind, set your affections on who Jesus is, what He has done, all that He has accomplished. Personally, think about your own sins, all that He has washed clean. Think about your adoption into His family, His church. Think about how the Lord is continuing to grow His church. He is spiritually growing His church. He is numerically growing His church. Rest in Christ and praise His name this morning. Rest in Him. And if you are presently unable to rest in Jesus, if you find yourself concerned and fearful because you don't have a relationship with Christ, call on Him. Come to Christ. Ask Him to save you from your sins. Only Jesus can save you. Only Jesus can cleanse you. And point number one, in verses 54 to 60, we find the council is enraged and Stephen is focused on his Savior. The council is enraged and Stephen is focused on his Savior. Verse 54, now when they heard these things, they were enraged and they ground their teeth at Stephen. And hearing the words of Stephen, especially the closing of his proclamation, you stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered, you who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it. The council was enraged. They were cut to the heart. They gritted their teeth at Stephen. They gnashed their teeth full of absolute anger at what he was saying. Hebrews 4, verse 12 informs us of what happened. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The word of God cut their heart. It pierced. Their conscience was pricked, but they did not repent. They rejected the gospel. They hardened their heart at the word of truth and became furious of being accused of murdering the Savior of the world. As the crowd gritted their teeth at Stephen with rage, the Lord was pleased with Stephen. Verses 55 and 56. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit, and he gazed into heaven. As he gazed, he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. The Lord was pleased with Stephen, and in the midst of the raging crowd, due to his words of truth, the Lord allowed Stephen to see into heaven. And we, the church, we have these wonderful words preserved for us, and these words should be cherished and treasured by us. This vision was of heaven filled with the glory of God and Jesus Christ exalted at the Father's right hand. Isaiah had a vision as well. Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. With two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. Stephen had a vision of the glory of God, and Jesus was standing at the right hand of God. Jesus is not sitting. He's standing. A picture of Jesus ruling and ready to receive his faithful servant, Stephen. Jesus is standing as advocate, welcoming Stephen. At this vision, this glimpse, Stephen utters the words, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." He informs the angry crowd that he was seeing the righteous one, the Son of Man, standing. The one that they had killed was ruling with all power and authority, the risen and glorified Son. See, Stephen was seeing the ultimate judge. He was seeing his advocate. And Stephen's words, they angered the crowd even more. Verses 57 and 58. But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. The enraged crowd responded to Stephen by loudly crying out and covering their ears. They had had enough of Stephen's condemning words. They could not handle it any longer. They rushed him, they drove him out of the city and stoned him at the place of stoning. And some believe this location to be the place of Golgotha, the place where Christ was crucified. Let us stop and consider the acts of the Holy Spirit within the early church for a moment. The Holy Spirit came with power. In the early church, we find faithful witnesses. The gospel was spreading. The church was growing by the thousands as they devoted themselves to the Lord. Annoyance came, persecution came, temporary chains came. And now we find Stephen, a man full of the Spirit, doing the Lord's divine will, we find that he is being killed. Stephen, the first martyr of the early church. In verse 58, we find the place of stoning. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. The false witnesses dragged Stephen outside the city to the place where people were stoned. They laid their garments at the feet of Saul, soon to be the Apostle Paul by God's grace, a young man. This age signifies an age anywhere from 24 to 40. As they laid down their garments, they picked up stones and took turns throwing them at Stephen until his death. The words of R.C. Sproul paint the picture well. The crowd grabbed rocks and stones, and with all their might, they began to throw them into Stephen's face, chest, and head. First, he was cut and marred and bruised. What a horrible way to be executed, one stone at a time. verse 59 and 60. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep. This was suffering. Stephen, he was suffering for the sake of Christ. He was a witness. He was a martyr. This is where we get the English word for martyr. He was a witness of Christ, and because of his words, he was being killed. These men, they opposed the Holy Spirit as their fathers did. They killed the righteous one, Jesus. They rejected the gospel, and now they were killing Stephen. Both Jesus and Stephen, they died a horrific death. Jesus, the sinless, the spotless Lamb of God, was falsely accused and killed on a cross. He was hung on a cross. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him, Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God." Stephen, a sinner, falsely accused and dragged outside the city for preaching truth, was being stoned to death, and this was the punishment for blasphemy according to Leviticus 24:16. Jesus cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," as he hung on the cross. And Jesus later said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last, Luke 23, verse 46. As Stephen was being stoned, he called out to Jesus, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And Stephen being stoned, he fell to his knees and he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Stephen cried out, "Lord Jesus, my master, receive my spirit. Lord Jesus, take me, bring me home." And as Stephen was on his knees praying, he fell asleep. These words, "fell asleep," a Christian expression for death focused upon the future resurrection. It's a picture of peace for the one who has been born again. Stephen's eyes were fixed on what was eternal, and his vision of the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God brought him joy in his temporary suffering. His eyes were on Christ as he was joyfully being slaughtered for Christ. Stephen's eyes were fixed on what was eternal. It was the Lord's will for Stephen to follow in the footsteps of his Savior. Stephen knew how Jesus died. And as he was being killed, he also called for forgiveness. "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Even in Stephen's death, he was being conformed into the image of Christ. Sanctification was occurring even in his final moments. Albert Mohler wisely said, "The worst anyone can do to us is send us to Jesus." The worst anyone can do to us is send us to Jesus. This event was God's plan, just as the cross of Christ was God's plan. The Lord was finished with Stephen being a witness for him. It was time for him to be present with Christ. The suffering was God's plan, and for Stephen, the suffering was God's plan for Stephen, and it was God's plan for his church to go. Stephen did not die for the gain of nothing. Stephen died in obedience to the Lord. And the Lord had planned this. And the Lord was using this to send his church. This event pushed the gospel beyond the Jews into the Gentiles. This killing scattered the church. They entered Judea and Samaria. What we are seeing here is the fulfilling of Acts 1:8. You receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. God's 12 were witnesses beyond Jerusalem, and Stephen was the one that the Lord used for advancing his church. Point number two, we find in Acts 7, verses 1 through 3, Saul and the church of God. Saul and the church of God. And Saul approved of his execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Stephen was buried. His martyred body was cared for, and there was great mourning, but this killing sparked a greater persecution. The day that Stephen was executed was also a day of great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. The message that Stephen preached was the message of the church, the message of the saints. It was the message, the good news of Jesus. Therefore, Stephen was not the only one that needed to be stopped. The church needed to be stopped. The church was scattered that day throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria due to persecution, while the apostles remained in Jerusalem. Luke instructs the church about the early life of the apostle Paul here. Saul, soon to be named Paul, was the young man whose feet the witnesses had laid down their garments as Stephen was killed. Saul was there and he approved of Stephen's execution. Young Saul, whose eyes saw and approved of Stephen's persecution, began ravaging the church. The anger that filled the council filled him. Saul entered house after house in the area, dragging men and women to prison for their testimonies of faith in Christ. Stephen was just the beginning. The early church was being persecuted. The church of God was seeking to be destroyed at the hands of lawless men. But this was God's plan. Stephen's death pushed Saul to greater lengths of persecution against the church. But as we will see later, after Saul's salvation, Stephen's death had a sanctifying influence upon his life. As we close with our text this morning, I want us to focus on some important truths that we learn from God's word. Truth number one, the sovereignty of God. I know, being at Foundation, you hear a lot about the sovereignty of God, because the sovereignty of God is important. We serve a Lord who is ruling over all things. He is not just sovereign, he is providentially ruling, making sure that his will is completely and perfectly accomplished. The persecution of the prophets, that was God's plan. The cross of Christ, that was part of God's plan. The stoning of Stephen was part of God's plan. The persecution of the early church, men and women being dragged from their homes with children left behind, being dragged to prison, that was part of God's plan. And all of our suffering, all of our trials, our persecution, it is also God's plan. God has not changed. The gospel was going forward, and through it all, God was at work. He is conforming us into the image of the Savior Jesus. The gospel will go forward and his kingdom will be built, and it will reach its final conclusion when the Lord is ready, when the Lord has accomplished all that he predestined to take place. Area number two, pleasing the Lord. The crowd was raging against Stephen, but the Lord was pleased with him. We should be encouraged by these words. If we know that we are being faithful to the truth, we need to rest in Jesus as Stephen did and keep serving. As Christians, we are called to work hard at glorifying the Lord and enjoying him. That we are to make Christ our greatest treasure. That we are to continue to repent of our temporary worthless idols and live for Christ. For the eternal things, those are the things that are to matter in this pilgrimage. And the third, forgiveness. Forgiveness. Jesus, he asked for the forgiveness of his killers while on the cross. Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, asked for the forgiveness of his killers as he was being stoned. Christians have been forgiven in Christ. We understand the greatness of our sin, but we also know complete forgiveness of our sin because we've been washed in the blood of Jesus. We know that Jesus is a great Savior. You see, those who have received grace are to be people of grace. We are to forgive because we have been forgiven. The great exchange is to have application in our life. That as God has removed all of our sin, and as he has imputed to us the righteousness of Christ, that not only has a mental impact, that is to have an impact of application as we live this life. Being quick to forgive. Because when we were enemies of Christ, Christ died for us. Those who have received grace are people of grace. So today we need to trust. We need to trust in our sovereign Lord. We will not understand everything, but we are to trust him. He is building his kingdom even today, even to the hands of raging, lawless men. The Lord is building his kingdom even through the coronavirus, in the hospitals, with the nurses, with the doctors, the patients, through divine conversations that are happening right now, through individuals who cannot see past their present circumstance, the Lord is growing his church. Today we must trust in our sovereign Lord. We must also live to the praise of his glory. We are here to please the Lord. We are here to please the Lord. We are to keep his commands. We are to remind ourselves of what he has said. And we are to be proclaimers of our great Savior. We are to tell the good news of Jesus. And today we need to give thanks for our salvation. Give thanks for our salvation. The Lord has redeemed us, not because of something that we deserve, not because we have accomplished something, but because the Lord had mercy on us. That he chose us before the foundation of the world that we would be redeemed and be his servants. What a blessing. Give thanks for our salvation. We should be quick to forgive those who have sinned against us. Because this life is short. We are to forgive. We are to keep our eyes on Christ and keep living for Him. Because Jesus will return. The question is, will you be found cleansed of your sins? I call you to repent, to call on Christ for salvation if you have not already. Do it today. Jesus saves great sinners. Call on Him. Father, I thank You for Your holy word. Lord, I thank You for even through the suffering of Stephen, this was Your plan, that You were pushing Your church to the fulfillment of Your commands to go and to make disciples. That Your Spirit had clothed Your church, and they were going, they were being spread, and they were going to be witnesses. Father, I pray that You would help us as Your church to be faithful where we are, to trust in Your sovereignty, that even though we may not understand all that is going on, that we can trust You, that we can keep our eyes on You, that we can obey Your commands. We can preach the gospel to ourselves and to those that we are around. Father, You are so good. Lord, help us to treasure our salvation that is found in Your Son, Jesus. It's in His name we pray. Amen. Throughout this week, I pray that you would be reminded of these words and the life of Stephen, and that we are to rest in our Savior. Our closing blessing this week is found in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of Him. Even so, amen.